I'm so blessed to be here. This is a fulfillment of a dream for me to be able to stand. Oh my God, I look around, I go, oh, there's that person. To be here with you. This ministry supported me so much for the 9 or 10 years that I was here and blessed me and encouraged me on my path. And you even financially helped me when I was in ministerial school. So thank you so much. This is, you know, when I talk about my home church, this is it. I like to start off with something kind of fun, and it reminds me, there's a story about a Unity minister, and we have lots of stories about Unity ministers, and we try to keep them to ourselves, but this one avoids all compromise. It has to be spoken. But there's a Unity minister, and he's preparing his lesson. You know, it's Saturday afternoon, and he's working hard, and he's, you know, praying and meditating, which is all we do. And he's saying, oh, okay, all right. Oh, and he starts getting some inspiration. So he gets out a pen and he starts writing it all down. This is the old days when we used to write. And he's writing it all down. And I'm listening and praying. Oh, yeah, write some more down. And, oh, yeah, write some more down. Write some more down. Oh, I got a whole bunch of stuff now. Write it down. And his son's watching. And his son looks at him. And dad says, he says, how do you know what to write? And the preacher said, son, I listen to God. And the boy goes, oh, really? Then how come you scratch so much stuff out? I'm so blessed to be in Hawaii, and I get to dress like this every Sunday. Actually, I usually don't wear shoes. But because I've worn them for a few days, I thought it'd be better for you if I did wear them. So I'm so lucky to be in Hawaii, I tell you. And so I've been working with some Hawaiian truths. So what I want to share with you today is an ancient Hawaiian proverb. And I'll share it with you and tell you what it means and then take my lesson from this ancient proverb. And it goes like this. Aia ke ola I ka waha. Aia ka maka I ka waha. And what that means is there is life in the mouth and there is death in the mouth. So what I'm going to talk about today is how can we use our words most effectively? Yeah? I know when I came in here 24 years ago, Carol Ruth Knox was here. Some of you, who remembers Carol Ruth Knox or experienced her? Wow. And she was speaking over here. That's where the platform used to be. And I think I was sitting up here in the balcony somewhere, yeah? And I heard her speak, and something inside of me went, whoosh! You ever experienced that? When you walk in here for the first time, and you feel like, I'm home. And so I felt that, wow! And I also felt that, oh my God, let me out of here. Yeah? There is transformation happening here, and I'm not ready for it. So I went away. I came back 6 months later when Reverend Marge Brett was here, and I got the same reaction. I'm out of here. Came back a little while later. Well, actually, I came back here looking for love. Somebody told me, if you want to find a woman, go to a Unity church. Is that working for anybody? So I came back looking for love, and what I found was spirit. Culliver used to say every Sunday, how are you feeling? And people would say,
great.
And she would say, good choice. And that to me was like, really? You mean I get to choose how I'm feeling? I get to choose how I'm thinking? In part, I just love that. You know, I've sort of been in the psychology movement and love this practical sort of ideas that we can change our lives through our thoughts and our words. And I just went, wow, that's great. I love that. And the second thing I heard, and the first of three things I want to talk to you about today that can transform your thinking and your speaking so that you can speak in powerful ways. And the first one, and the next thing that I realized is that the presence of God is within me. The presence of God is within me. Do you remember hearing that for the first time? When I heard it, it's like, wow, I know that. I've heard that before. And my heart went, whoosh. The presence of God is within me. The presence of God is within you. And this is why I love unity so much, because this is a mystical path. Yeah? We are, mystic to me is somebody that just doesn't intellectually understand truth and memorize scripture, but it's someone who takes the principles and applies them to their life because they want to what? They want to know God. Yeah? Everything, every desire we have is all about learning more about God, experiencing. It's not about learning. It's about experiencing the presence of God in everything we think, everything we say, and everything we do. That's why I believe we love this movement of unity, because it's practical truth that we can apply to our lives so that we can experience the presence of God in everything we do. Who wants to do that? Yeah, anybody want to do that? I want to do that. Say that. I want to do that. And you can do that, and that's why you're here. So I have a little bit of an affirmation for you. And but before I read the affirmation, I want to tell you something that Jesus said, one of our great teachers, about the power of words. And it starts off like this. He says, "You brood of vipers." I think what he's really saying is, "You knuckleheads. How can you speak good things when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Remember that. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person brings good things out of the treasure, and the evil person brings evil things out of evil treasure. I tell you, on the day of judgment, you will have to give an account for every careless word you offer. I hate that part. But that's why we're here, because we're learning how to change our thinking, change our words, change our life, yeah? Now this is, does anybody know where this teaching comes from? Where was Jesus when he made this teaching? It's the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, and so Jesus is talking metaphysically or spiritually to us. And so when he's speaking from a mount, he's speaking from a higher place in consciousness. Yeah, you've been there. Yeah, when you're totally in a place of love, you're speaking from that higher consciousness. But sometimes we get down in that place. Have you ever been there? Oh, it's me. Oh, this is a terrible word. This world, this is a horrible experience. And we're sort of speaking from that place of lack or evil, as it's translated in the scriptures. So he's telling us that we can, by lifting our awareness, lifting the presence of who we are, lifting our consciousness up, we can be in that place where all things good happen. And what he says in this scripture that I think is so phenomenal is the sentence I ask you to remember. And that is, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So what this is saying is that that place in our heart, that transformer that pushes out our energy into that place of love and abundance, comes from where? Comes from our heart. So when we are in total alignment with our heart, then we speak totally from our truth. This is an old Hawaiian truth. It's an old biblical truth. And it's also a Buddhist truth. In the Sutra Apatta, the Buddha said, "A person is born with an axe in his mouth." Ouch. "He whose speech is unwholesome cuts himself with the axe." Ever done that? I know you haven't. Because you're here in, you know, Unity Walnut Creek, and you're past that, yeah? In the Muslim scripture, Muhammad wrote, the messenger of God took hold of the tongue and said, restrain this. So there's a good teaching in that, isn't there, about learning when to speak and when not to speak. Max Lasser, who was Reverend Max, was a minister here, told me before I went to ministerial school, he said, Blaine, choose your battles carefully. Are you finding as you get older, you can temper what you say a little bit, yeah? And maybe say, oh, I don't have to say that. So the first thing that I want us to think about is to know that what we speak creates. And we want to know that we are the one presence and the one power in the universe. We are one with that presence. We are the manifestation of God. Yeah? True for you? We are all expressions of God. We're not the allness of God, but we are individual expressions of that oneness. So the first thing that we can do in changing our thinking, change in our speaking, is to realize that we're one with that allness. And I have an affirmation for you. Y'all know about affirmations. Yeah? Reverend David, you ever have him do affirmations? Okay. So, I am speaking words of truth and oneness to myself right now. I am speaking words of truth and oneness to myself right now. Let's say it together. I am speaking words of truth and oneness to myself right now. Anybody ever talk to yourself? Although, anybody who doesn't ever talk to yourselves, would you raise your hand so we can see who you are? It's okay. You know, you're not mentally ill if you talk to yourself. Talking to ourselves is part of what we do, and the dialogue that we have with ourselves is so powerful because out of that dialogue, we actually create what we believe about ourselves. What we say enough, we convince ourselves of it, and then we experience it. I am speaking words of truth and oneness to myself right now. Just hold that for a second. Hold that possibility for yourself. Feel that. What does that feel like to be in that place? To be so focused. Now, this is about point number two. A couple weeks ago, I was on Maui, and a hurricane was coming. You remember that? Any of you watch the Weather Channel? I never watched it. You know, when I was in St. Louis, I watched it every day because the weather was always changing. It was either hot or cold or something in between, but it was always changing. And so a couple of weeks ago, there's a hurricane coming. In fact, there wasn't one hurricane coming. There was two. And the prediction was that both those hurricanes were going to move through the entire chain of the Hawaiian Islands. And I'd never been in a hurricane before. And my landlord came over one morning, and he's like, oh, we gotta nail up the plywood on the windows. We got to secure everything. Get everything off the deck, you know. And he's pulling stuff around, and he's like, okay, you guys got to leave. You can't stay in this house. This house is made out of plywood and 2x4s. And a 60-mile-an-hour wind is going to blow this place off the mountain, and you'll be standing here with nothing, and I tell you, you've got to be out of this space. And I'm like, oh, my God. And so what do I do? You know, I made a list, and I went to Kmart. Yeah, we have Kmart. We have Kmart, Walmart, Costco. That's the only places you can shop on Maui. There's no Best Buy. Guys, if you want Best Buy, buy the stuff before you leave and then come to Maui, because there's nothing there except what you can find in Costco. So anyway, where was I? Oh, back to Kmart. And so I got to go Kmart. I got to get some batteries. I got to get some flashlight. I got to get some fluid for my Coleman stove. And so I'm running around with my cart, and there's like people everywhere. And people are stocked up in front of me, and they're grabbing stuff out of my bag. You know, I put some D batteries in there, and I turn around, they're gone. You know, I put some water in my bag, I turn around, it's gone. There's no more water on any shelf anywhere in Maui. And I'm like, oh my God, I gotta do this, and I gotta do that. And people are crashing into me, and people are cutting me off, and you leave your cart, and it's gone. And it's like, oh my God, who are these people? And so finally, I come over and I get in line, and there's 40 people in line, right? And I'm like, oh my, I gotta hurry. I got all this stuff to do, and this hurricane's coming, and it's a class 2 hurricane. It's gonna blow us off the island. And then I realized, oh, God's within me. Everything's gonna be okay. And so I'm standing there, and I thought, okay, I'm a Unity minister. I'm all this stuff they taught me about being calm and not letting the outside stuff bother me. Take a deep breath. Oh, yeah. I'm one. The oneness is within me. I'm one with God. And then I started to believe it. Yeah? And then I realized, you know, all these people around me are just like me. We are all one. All this franticness that I'm seeing is inside of me also. So I took a deep breath, and then I actually started to think, I love you. I love you. I see what you're going through. I love you. I love you. We are one. We are one. And I started feeling that and sharing that and looking at people and beholding that oneness. And then something shifted. I found myself at peace. And then the checker all of a sudden looks up and she says, hey, do you want to come in this line? And I'm like, woohoo! You know, there's how many people did I say were in front of me? There's at least 40. I think there was 50 in the first service. So anyway, I took my cart and I went up to the line and I got my stuff, and the woman's like, how are you? And I said, you know, I am so great. I am so grateful to be alive. And she said, isn't it a beautiful day? So the hurricane approached the islands the next day. And as it hit the big island, it dispersed. It just fell apart. We got 30 minutes of rain. And I did that. You just tell everybody how powerful we are, you know? But I know my world changed for me when I beheld the presence of God in other people. When I was able to look and go, you know, I behold the presence of God in you. I behold the presence of God in you. That's our job, isn't it? That's why we're here, as expressions of God, to behold that, because as soon as we do, there's a shift. Of Course in Miracles says a miracle is a change in perception, change in the way that we see things. I behold the presence of God in everyone right now. Let's say that together. I behold the presence of God in everyone right now. Right now. You remember the right now part. When?
Right now.
You know, I like to think that the second coming of Jesus, or the second coming of the Christ, as has been predicted, isn't the coming of the physical person, but it's the second coming of the idea that we are one with the One. One with the presence of God. That's the second coming. That's putting it into action. So the second piece is to recognize the presence of God in everyone. And I got one more. And that is, when I was in St. Louis, I'd been there two churches, 5 years each. And one night I'm praying and meditating and I'm listening and I felt this like something happening in my heart. And it wasn't a heart attack, but it was something embellishing me. And I felt it like growing in me. And I'm like, wow, what is this feeling? And I said, okay, what is this? And what I heard was, you are done in St. Louis. It's time for you to leave. Your work has been done here. And I'm thinking, no, I love my church. I love these people. How can I be done? And the feeling was, the little voice said, you're done, Blaine. And I said, I'm going to sleep on that. Which I think is often good advice. If you get an idea to change something, to sleep on it and not go out and, you know, start taking things apart or putting all your stuff in your car, you know. So I slept on it. And the next morning in meditation, I listened again and I heard, it's time to go. It's time to go. So I stood up and I said, okay, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'll go anywhere. If this is what is right for me, if this is what the universe is calling me to do, then I'm going to go anywhere you want. I just felt this whoosh of peace. A couple days later, I sent out some emails with my resume and cover letter and all that stuff to a couple different churches. And then about 4 days later, I got a call from Sandy Foreman, who many of you might know from here. And Sandy at that time was on the board at Unity in Maui. And she says, Blaine, I was just thinking about you and wondered if you'd be interested in being the minister in Maui. Say, St. Louis? Maui? Really? Maui? So I emailed my stuff back, and in a couple days I heard that they want to do a Skype interview with me. We did an hour Skype interview. They called me 20 minutes later and said, we want you to come to Maui to interview for this position. So we made reservations for a month. I went to Maui, and I applied for the job, and they hired me. And the rest is history. But the point that I want to make is, in order for our words and our thoughts to have real power, we have to know the truth before we speak the truth, right? I know, and you've all read all this new thought stuff that says you can create with your words. You can get what you want with your words. It's true. To a certain extent, you can. Because our words are power. They have vibration. They go out and they create. But the powerful way to create is by using your heart. Listening to what your heart desires, what is it that Spirit desires to be through you? What does Spirit desire to be through you? That's where our power is. That's where our connection comes from. That's where that energy of heart is a transformer and lifts and magnifies that energy so that we can be the power and the presence and the love of God. Because that's how God wants to experience and express through us. You know, every desire that you have is the presence of God within you desiring something. And when you feel that desire, go in and check with your heart and see, is this a desire of my heart? Or is this another kind of a desire? What is it, Spirit, that you want to be as me? In order to speak the truth, we must know the truth. Back to the Sermon on the Mount. And I'd never seen this before I wrote this talk. I never thought about this. Jesus says, the great teacher says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What we say through our heart with our mouth. That's where the power to create comes from. Aya ke ola ika waha. Aya ke make I ke waha. Your words have the power to create. Listen to your heart and choose your words carefully. I listen with my heart and speak words that create a loving world. Let's say it together. I listen with my heart and speak words that create a loving world. In Hawaii, we say aloha. Aloha means hello. Aloha means I love you. And aloha means goodbye. God bless you.